Some black day I know. the darkness of the midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storms howl above me, and there's no hiding place. With the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry, keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky.
Blessing. We've heard that song many, many times throughout our years here at the church. That's the first time that I've heard it that way. Three generations, that's how you say that. Wow. And I appreciate them so very much for doing that. I hope you brought your Bible, the book of Luke, chapter number 7. The book of Luke, chapter number 7. The book of Luke, chapter number 7. I have been doing a whole bunch of praying, and sometimes the Lord has to straighten out preachers. I don't know why he does. I have been studying this earlier in the week and got away from it. I thought that. And yesterday, I always do certain things, creature of habit. And I studied other things, and I thought I was going another direction, and that didn't work. I spent probably a lot of time studying yesterday that I might not normally, and it didn't work. And I don't know how to explain doesn't work, but it don't work, okay? And somewhere early this morning, I was awakened, and it wouldn't work. You know what I mean? It was no. And so I got up, and I'm real good. I use a lot of notes. And so all I had to do was take my notes and move it to another spot, okay? And I don't question God whenever he says no. I just try to listen. And the reason why that's important is I don't know what's going on. He does. And I hadn't been able to figure it out. And so I ask you to pray for us just for a little while. I'm not holding you long today. I want you to read with us in the book of Luke chapter number 7. And I want to begin reading verse 36. And one of the Pharisees, and I want to focus on that word Pharisee. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. And when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, one owed 500 pence, the other 50. When he had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore which of them will love him most. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom thou forgavest most. And he said, thou hast rightly judged. What a statement. Wow. And he turned to the woman. But notice he didn't say to the woman right now. He just turned to the woman. He turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with the ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she hath loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word. I pray you'll help us through the message. God, speak to hearts and lives, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Pharisee's house. The Pharisee, we know, we like to look at a lot of religious things and say, boy, they were really smart religious people. And that's kind of the way you have to word it. They were religious people. There's a lot of religious people in this world that's going to die and go to hell. Now that's the main gist of it. There's a lot of folks that claim religion, they're going to die and go to hell. You can go and visit some folks' house, and it won't take you long to figure out whose God they serve. It won't take you long. You can go in some people's homes, and you won't find anywhere, shape, form, or fashion, wouldn't know if they go to church or not. Because of what they do and how they act and what their surroundings are in the house that they live. I dare say that the Pharisee's home in this day was probably decorated different than what we would imagine. We kind of think in the backwoods days of years ago, they didn't have nothing. And I have no proof to say they did or didn't, okay? I just have proof to know that what we have in this present day. A lot of folks like to put on a show. They want to have something to be able to say, look here, I can entertain with the best of them. I can invite somebody like this good man. Remember, he just called him master. I can invite somebody like that into my home and I'll make an impression. I'll make an impression on him. And when he leaves the house that I live in, he'll know he's been in a good man's house. I hope that's not your perception of how you need to entertain the Lord. I hope it's a little different from that. But the Pharisee did something that kind of makes me want to hesitate. And just listen. The Pharisee never said once that he loved the Lord. Not once. The Pharisee never goes back and gives any kind of scriptural thing that he would have knowledge of and say, man, what the Lord was doing was good. He had nothing in his background except what he was willing to present himself in that day. That goes a lot for what we are producing today. It doesn't really matter what you've done in the past. It's what you do today that's important. We could really be on the wrong road, but friend, we can get off that wrong road today. We like to say in society, we turn over a new leaf, we stop our wrongs, we try to do our rights, but I got news for you. If you depended on yourself, you'll fail. You'll fail. You got to have a higher power within you than what you presently have right now. The Pharisee, he did not know who was coming to his house because when he invited the Lord, I'm sure there was other folks that just tagged along. And that's exactly what this woman was. This woman was not a diseased person. And how many folks do you know that followed the Lord because they wanted to be healed? If they had divers disease of different sorts, you remember the woman that had the issue of blood, and I could just go on and on, give you examples of how that blind people, those that had all kinds of, would come and they'd want to be healed, but this woman didn't have that problem. And if I can say it this way, this woman probably walked like everybody else walked, talked like everybody else talked. In fact, in society, you wouldn't know her from anybody else except she had a reputation. Reputation wasn't very good. Pharisee knew of it. But did the Lord know it? Lord knows all about you. He really does. And friend, the Lord doesn't look at you and say, well, let me show you your sins. God has a special way of letting us know ourselves. I remember growing up, you ever got a whipping when you was growing up? If you didn't, I know what's wrong with you, all right? But if you ever got a whipping growing up, you got a whipping. And I don't know if your parents was like my mother. I didn't have a father. And when my father, he'd probably kill me, all right? But he died, so I don't know. I only got beatings from my mother. And I can say that because she ain't here to defend it, okay? But whenever you'd get a whipping, you know what they'd say? I don't know where they learned it from. They'd beat you till you cried, and then they'd whip you till you stopped. And I ain't figured that out one, but that's the way it worked. I mean, you had to cry. If you didn't cry, the beatings would continue. I don't know how that works. But the key of it was when you was a smart young'un, you learned to cry before they ever first hit you, you know? And that didn't work. The reason why I'm saying that, something about discipline causes tears until you get older and you think you're smarter and you think you're tougher and you say, I'm not going to cry. You may never done that. But as a boy, sometimes you think, I don't care how hard the whipping is, I am not going to cry. I don't know how that worked. It didn't work very well a lot of times. Why is Zima saying all of that? This woman shed tears. She didn't have a disease. She didn't have a problem. She didn't have something that would cause her to have tears. Nobody was whipping her. Nobody was beating her. And only thing she had, she's a sinner. Only thing. No, and if a Pharisee could find a reason to criticize, they were going to find it. That they would look in there, and if they knew any dirt on you, they would do it. You remember that woman that was taken in the very act of adultery? And a bunch of them gathered up. They gathered up, and they just happened to bring her to Jesus. And when they brought her to Jesus, boy, said, hey, we know this woman is in adultery. We caught in the very act of adultery, and we know what we want to do. But, Lord, we brought her to you. Now friend, if you don't think, boy, that's a reason for that woman to be crying. Because when you're caught in the very act of adultery, it's very easy to say, boy, I'm sorry because I got caught. Because I got caught. Whenever you get caught lying or cheating or stealing or whatever, sometimes it's very easy to have them crocodile tears. You know what them are. But the truth of it was, this woman was just a sinner. This woman just came because she heard that Jesus was going to be in this man's house. And I don't know how the layout was, but how somehow or another, when she got in the house, she come right up behind the Lord. Not in front of him, behind him. Simon was the Pharisee's name. Simon saw her, knew her reputation, and here's what he kind of looks and he says within himself. If this feller knew who she was, things would be different. If the Lord, and he didn't call him that, but if the Lord didn't know, wouldn't it have been good for Simon to kind of elbow him and say, hey, you know who that woman is? Because ain't that what we would do? Ain't that, wouldn't we like to get into knowing somebody and say, you know, preacher, you just don't understand. These people right here, you don't know how many lies they tell. You don't know how many drinking parties they have. You don't know what kind of wild living they live. Friend of mine, if we're not careful, we like for folks just to tell us. So we're not gossiping. We're just telling the truth. We're not. But that man thought it within himself. And if you were following along in the reading, Jesus answered the man. The man didn't say nothing. Not out loud. But friend, Jesus knows your heart and what you are thinking. He knows your condition. He knew that woman was a sinner. But he knew what Simon the Pharisee was thinking. And when God looks inside of an individual, it's different from looking on the outside of the individual. On the outside, you remember, he says for us to beware of those that stand praying in the synagogues to be seen and heard of men. What we need to know, is for us not to jump to conclusions and think, well, we need to know something about you so we'll know how to pray for you. You ever heard that? It ain't none of my business. My business is to be praying for you. It's up to God to know the inside of an individual. You see, to know how big a sin is, it ain't how big, how small. If it's sin, it's sin. It's sin. Now this woman was doing tears, not just normal tears, not tears of pain, not tears of sorrow. Not, when I say sorrow of a broken heart, like some people might think a broken heart. Why is that? This woman, somehow or another, she was convicted of her sins. That's the only thing she had. She didn't have, oh, I got this problem. No, she was a sinner. Don't you think she knew she was a sinner? Don't you think she knew that the Pharisee couldn't help her? The Pharisee would have been like all the other religious people in that day. You can't go to some folks and get help. You can go to all kinds of self-help things in this world, and you can look it up on the internet and you can find all kinds of self-help. But friend, there's some things that self-help will never help you with like God can. And when this woman started shedding her tears, she was behind the Lord. And those tears were not just normal tears. Those tears were not the kind that caused by a whipping. Those tears were not the kind that caused by any other outside source. It was because she had a heart that was broken because of her life. Broken because of her life. Listen to me. Have you ever done something so wrong, not to your fellow man? Because, friend, I want to tell you, I've offended a lot of folks in my time, and you have too. I've offended family. I'm talking about family, really close members of family, like sisters. I've offended mother. You've offended mother, father, sister, brother. You've offended folks that would make you say to that family member straight up, "I'm sorry for what I've done." Now, if you hadn't, you've held a grudge and it's caused a separation between your family. But if you've been willing enough to go to that family member for a wrong that you've done, no. Don't do like some folks in the Bible. Some folks in the Bible think, well, if they've offended me, I'm not going to do nothing. They're going to come to me. And when they come to me, everything will be all right. But unless they come to me, I'm not going to forgive them. That ain't what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches if you got aught against your brother, you're supposed to leave your gift at the altar and go and be reconciled to thy brother. There's a step that men just don't want to make and don't want to take. We don't want to go that extra mile to say, "Listen, I'm sorry for what I've done." But this woman, she didn't go to God and say, "God, I'm a sinner." She goes to God quietly. Not saying a word, but tears would not stop. They kept flowing enough that she began to wipe the feet of Jesus with the hairs of her head. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Here's why it's unbelievable. Me and you, if we were told, friend, the only way you're going to get forgiveness is to shed enough tears. What in the world kind of response would that be? Man, I've been in the altar with folks and talking to folks, and I've seen folks in the altar never shed a tear and have a testimony of being saved. Now, you don't have to shed tears to be saved. Where in the Bible does it say, "You make sure you cry and then you shall be saved"? It don't say it. Now, what we like to think a broken heart will cause those tears, and I want to tell you, there's a lot of folks that I've seen that come to the altar and get saved, and tears would be flowing like a river. But there, my friend, is a point that I want to make. Whenever you have a broken heart, you don't have to let these tears flow to get a hold of God. Watch this. Her tears were flowing. And old Simon, he got reprimanded by the Lord pretty good. But friend, whenever it come time to wipe those tears, did she bring the alabaster box of ointment? Because she knew she was going to cry. Have you ever come to church and say, "You know what? Today I'm going to get saved. Today I'm going to come to church and I am going to get saved today." Friend of mine, if the Holy Spirit of God doesn't speak to you, you've got a problem. You've got a huge problem. A huge problem, because the Holy Spirit of God is the drawing power. You know what you can do? You can play religion, and you can act like you're very religious, and you can, as old terminology, you can wear a suit and a tie, and you can carry a Bible, but that don't make you saved. You know what makes you saved? It's whenever you ask Jesus to come into your heart. I'm going to repeat this over and over and over again. Why do I need to repeat it? Because many folks come to church out of convenience and they want to present the story like the Pharisee. In my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You can say the words all you want, but you got to have him inside your heart. Now listen. When she brought that alabaster box of ointment, we won't know. But she could have brought that alabaster box of ointment for some other reason. We don't know. But when it come time, after enough tears, after enough wiping with her hair and kissing his feet, something that me and you, no preacher, I'll do about anything. I'm not going to kiss his feet. Friend of mine, when you're a sinner, and the only way that you're ever going to be saved is to confess your sins to God, son, your terminology will change. You might not think your sin, you might not think your sins are bad enough, but one sin will send you to hell. One sin. You don't have to have the money. You don't have to have the reputation. You don't have to have all the other outward things. All you've got to do is be classified a sinner. Even the Pharisee classified her as a sinner. But I don't care what they classify you. I only care what the Lord classifies. And when the Lord classified her as a sinner, she was a sinner. Here's what happened. She kissed his feet. She wiped her feet with her hair and just cleaned his feet with, this is unreal. But when she opened that alabaster box of ointment and anointed, that's what the Bible says, anointed his feet. Those outward gestures was something she did to the Lord. Was she saved because she done all of those things? No. No. You're not saved by outward gestures. When Jesus then talks to Simon and told him what he told her, but then he addresses her as an individual. Her, all by her. It wouldn't matter how many people was in the house that day. The Lord took the time to speak directly to her, which was a sinner. And here's what he had to say to her. Thy sins be forgiven. I don't know. I've never been in court where the judge would say, all right, we're dismissing the case. We're saying you're not guilty. This matter can never be brought up against you no more because there's nothing to bring up. It didn't happen in the eyes of the court. Man, if it ever happened to me, I'd be thankful. I've never went to driving school, and I got caught enough. But I've never went to driving school for them to say, okay, for that speeding ticket, we're going to act like it didn't happen. You may have, okay? But the truth of it is, I've not been forgiven that way. And even if I have, in my mind, I know I was guilty of speeding, and you are too. But here's in the eyes of God. The eyes of God see something differently than the average Pharisee. And I don't want to call us Pharisees, but we got a lot of religion in us, don't we? But watch this. When Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven, he didn't ask Simon the Pharisee, is it okay if I tell her sins are forgiven?
Because a lot of times in church, you know what we expect? We expect when somebody gets saved, we got our eyeballs focused on them and we're looking at them and we're thinking, boy, we're going to see a change in them. It doesn't matter if I see a change in you as long as you're forgiven. The change will come. A new creature will come. But friend of mine, don't let me and you examine salvation because of what we want to see. It's not how we look at a brother or a sister. It's not how I judge you or you judge me. It's if the Lord forgives you of your sins. Forgiveness of sins is the most important thing you'll ever do in this life. Nothing else matters. I must read this verse. Listen, I didn't read it prior. I want you to hear it. I want you to hear what she had to, what come about. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is it that forgiveth sins also? Last verse. And Jesus had this to say. He said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Thy faith hath saved thee. It's one thing for the Lord to forgive you. It's another thing for you to see through the eyes of God that He has saved you. You must know that you have passed from death unto life. You see, it's not about, boy, I feel different. We all like to feel, I feel safe. Friend of mine, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you get saved, you will know your sins are forgiven. And by the faith that God gives you, you're going to know that you have been saved. And you know, it wasn't like many others that their life was changed. Remember that man that was, they wanted to question, how are you able to see? How are you able to see? And he had the best answer in the world. He said, I don't know how I'm able to see. You go ask that other fella, the one that did it. In other words, referring to the Lord. Don't tell me. Don't ask me. I don't know how it is. It's kind of like this. I don't know how I got saved. Go ask the Lord. He's the one that does the saving. We need to realize. We need to know. It doesn't matter how we come to the house. It's how we leave the house that matters. It doesn't matter our religious circles. It matters when we meet with the Lord. And when we meet with the Lord, old Simon can be 2 foot away. I could care less as long as I'm meeting with the Lord. And when you meet with the Lord and He tells you your sins are forgiven, I can rejoice because I know I've got a better place to go. Are you saved this morning? You're not going to come to me. No, you can come up here and I'll pray with you. I'll do what I can. But whenever you realize you're a sinner. God knows you're a sinner. And God wants to save you. But you must come to Him. And when you come to Him, you can be saved. Brother Greg, a song of invitation. 385. I can't tell you a lot about a lot of things. I wish I had more fill-in spots. But you know the best one that I remember? The best one that I can tell you a lot more details on is a time that I walked the aisle to get saved. I can tell you a lot more. I can tell you that in my heart, I knew I was a sinner. And I can tell you that I knew the Lord was the only one that could forgive me of my sins. And I can tell you that I prayed. And I don't know how the Lord saw fit to save me. I don't know how come His grace came my direction, A friend of mine, when that grace of God came into my heart and forgave me of my sins, I was a new creature. Old things, all my old sins were forgiven. Friend, if you're lost without God, that's how you'll meet God. Not my way, but God's way. Would you come to know Him today? Can we stand? Can we sing a verse? If God's speaking to you, come today. Would you?